Here's something I figured out because of my pressing in to this place of God at this season of my life. And I press in for me, and I press in for you. Are you listening? I don't like to talk about the enemy. I don't like to talk about the devil, and I don't do sermons on the devil, and I don't talk about the devil is wise and the devil is sneaky and all that stuff and try to make a message about the enemy and who he is and his powers, because he is a defeated foe. And I'm never going to give praise to him. However, there is a level of intelligence involved. There is a level of strategy involved. There is a level of clever manipulation involved that the enemy figures out just how much pressure and when to back off enough to keep you immobile, enough to keep you on a long enough chain that he knows where you're going. And if you don't get in the presence of God and see outside of this three-dimensional realm to what's going on, you can live your whole life in barely satisfaction and never push for anything deeper, because whenever the pressure comes on, the devil knows what little simple prayer you're going to say, and he'll pull back just enough to keep you from pushing. In other words, he can't kill your dream. You've heard me say this a million times. He can't stop the move of God, but he can convince you to abort. So what he does is, once he realizes you have a commitment to God and a commitment to winning, how many of those people in this room? You have a commitment to God and a commitment to winning. Once he sees that you will not be moved in a certain point, he figures not to push that point. But he'll begin to fence you around in other areas. So God showed me this vision this week. He said, I set you free. Come out of your tent. Run wild and free in the fields that I've laid before you. And God said, and it's like you running with barricades in your hand. You got your little police, you know, fence, and you run, and you say, okay, freedom, freedom, and now I'm free. This is my freedom area. This is my freedom area. God showed me this about myself. And he said, when I speak to you, you go, oh, no, is that what I did? Well, let me move this fence back a little more.
Wow.
Free. Wow. He said, you just moved the fence. You're not free. You just moved the fence. See, this is the kind of stuff you start seeing when you get naked before God. I don't mean literally, but if that works for you, amen. And I begin to realize something. Wow. The enemy don't mess with my finances anymore. He knows that I have a stand there. But he'll mess with my destiny that God has ultimately called me to by giving me a very comfortable one right now. Hey, he ain't encroaching at least. I may not be going beyond my fence. Well, at least he's not coming in trying to push the fence back. Hey, hallelujah. Glory to God. Free in my fences. It's so much bigger than what we've accepted. And I had you confess that last week, a week before. I'm so much bigger. But I said, God, I don't know if they understand. And I said, and God, I don't know if I understand what I mean by that. I just know it's the truth. Saints, I'm here today to challenge the limitations, the freedom fences. Thank God your area is bigger than it used to be. But it's still a fence. So, when I come before you and say, you know, I have these weeks, you don't know this. Few people know that talk to me. But like, I haven't been sleeping a lot. Not because I don't want to, because I just haven't been able to. So I'll fall asleep at 2 in the morning, wake up back up about 5, and then I can't go back to sleep. And my mind is just running, racing, so many things. So, of course, medical would say, well, let me give you some stuff to help you sleep. I'm like, no, I'm not doing that. So I get my little oils and put them in the diffuser and sit there and breathe, and I might fall asleep in my chair during the course of the day for about 15 minutes, and then I'm still going. There's only so much your body can take. After a while, you know, I've been feeling these little headaches and things, and you know, and looked it up and found out they're saying it's tension. I don't feel any tension. But I feel let me say this to you like this. And I'm saying this to you for and before I say it, I'm gonna put something out there in the spirit realm. And what I'm putting out there in the spirit realm is that when I say this, your spirit's going to receive it. You're going to hear it. It's going to make total sense to you, not just in your mind, but in the realm of who you are and everything you are. You ready? We are so much bigger than these bodies we live in. You get to a place where you start to feel almost like this body is a prison. Confined by gravity, little slight cuts and bruises and all kind of things that just create such a and this part of me that just wants to get out of it. Not die. Somebody says some samba music. Hey. Bigger than this realm. You are an eternal spirit. Bigger than the 60, 90, whatever years that this body can hold out for. What must it be like to have this eternal nitroglycerin ready to explode in this little flesh shell with its aches and pains and limitations? Just to be free. I understand that death, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? That scripture, like I've never understood it before. Yeah, there's no victory. You didn't beat me. I move on. You didn't go on too soon. It's not soon enough for me. I'm not wishing death on myself. Don't get me wrong. I'm just beginning to understand where the greater value lies. But while I'm here, while we're here, we have a destiny to fulfill that is bigger than the limitations that we've created or allowed people to create around us. So here's where I'm going to wrap this part of my pre-sermon. Either pre-Christian or post-Christian realms, still earthly realms. There's still realms that are limited to your understanding of who you are and who God is to you. I don't care how Christian you are and how much Jesus you love. You still have the obligation, are you listening to me? To get before the throne of God and get the fullness of the picture of why you are here. You're not here to seek happiness. You're here to seek the kingdom and his God and his right standing, and all of these happiness things will come and go, and who cares? You're bigger than the realm you've tied yourself to. There's way more room for you right now than the fences that you have erected. God showed me something. I saw this guy online. He was doing this message, I guess, and trying to confirm somehow spiritually that Donald Trump was God's assignment. And he pulled up scripture where God said, "Where I looked for a man to build the wall, but could find none." So he tried to conclude now, because he's saying build that wall. I said, no, but you're leaving part out the scripture, and could find none. So just because, so otherwise, you what, you're rewriting the scripture now because he's saying build the wall? He said, I didn't find one. So that means anyone who is building one is not one God found. Let's not twist it and stretch it to make it fit our narrative. Why am I making this point? We do that every day. We take the scriptures we can take, and we twist them and stretch them to fit our narratives, and we never become what God is calling us to be because we keep trying to make God fit in the situation that we created. And he ain't mad at you. He loves you. But you're bigger than you just being blessed and having a happy life. You're bigger than that. Look at somebody and say, there's a destiny for you. Well, I help my neighbors, and whenever the kids, you know, don't have, I let them have some of my bread and jelly. That's it? And you happy with yourself? You're real proud of yourself, aren't you? We have a pantry every week. I'm not proud. I'm glad that I can do it. But it's not. That's not it. That's not all. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I speak right now over Sister Linda's hearing. Loose her ears right now so that she can hear every word that's being said. Let your anointing rest on, not just for today, but I speak to that situation and tell it to turn around from this moment forward. Ears open in Jesus' name. You good? Talk to me. I'm speaking to you. You hear me? Don't wait. Look at me. I know. No, no. That's okay. Speak. I'm speaking to your ears to open. I'm speaking to your ears to open in Jesus' name. I'm speaking to your ears to open. Speaking to your ears to open. But are you receiving that? You're bigger than the fences. You're going to be picturing these fences now. You're going to be saying, yeah, and freedom in Jesus' name, and then looking to see your new fence. God is bigger than my fences. So, let's push on. But do you have a better understanding now of why I'm teaching the way I'm teaching? How much time did I use? Thank you. Because I just like did not even set the thing or nothing. So, we're going to go forward and we're going to talk about this some more. And what I want to talk about is, continue to talk about is, anointed mind and anointed, the way the anointed mind starts to look at things or think about things. I'm trying to get us, well, I'm not trying to, in Jesus' name, I am getting us to think beyond the limitations that have been created in how we see things. So I started out by saying in the beginning of the message, very beginning, that God is teaching me to love people that I don't necessarily see I agree with respect to the fact that they are only limited to the way they were raised and the way they see things. No, don't drift off on me now. Stay with me. Because if I can hate you for your limitations, somebody has a right to hate me for mine without me being upset about it. If I can judge somebody else for their shortcomings, somebody has a right to judge me for mine. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not, for the way you judge, you shall be judged, and the same measure you measure shall be measured back to you again. I believe that's the right verse, right? If not, you can check it and correct me in real time. I'm good with it. But my point is, if I'm aware of that, then I'm going to judge me more seriously than I judge someone else. But I want to judge me with an anointed mind. I want to judge me from the standpoint of God's judgment. Now, here's why this message is important and this statement is important. Because if I say, nope, judge yourself according to God's mind, we immediately say, well, God is love and God sees my shortcomings and God just loves everything about me, so I'm just perfect. No, you're not. Because if you're really judging yourself by the mind of God, God may not judge you in a nasty, harsh, critical way, but he does judge you. Are you understanding me? When God showed me the fences, that was a judgment. He's saying, you think you're free, buddy, but you're still setting up boundaries and hold this in your hand for a minute. And then locking me into those boundaries and asking me to only work within them. You got it? When you set those boundaries, you can try to confine God to them. In other words, God can't work outside of your gate. I try to imagine what it must feel like to be God watching us do these dumb things. So, yes, he does judge you every day if you're allowed to be judged. But judgment doesn't have to be bad. Judgment in this world, I know, means as a prison sentence. But if you look at it from a positive way, if you watch dance shows and reality shows and singing competition, they have judges. And they judge who is best, and people win. So you can win from being judged. Get that image in your mind. Sit with that a minute. My judge is looking to give me the prize. He's judging me and making the corrections. Well, I didn't really feel you this week. I didn't feel your heart was in that. The performance was good, but it was lackluster. It looked like you rehearsed it so much that you were mechanical. You didn't bring your heart into it. Not like when you first, the first week you were here, we felt you, but you become too sterile. When you first got saved, you just worshiped me out of this place that just wasn't. Then you went to church and you learned a bunch of churchisms. And now you pray robotic. Now you say, oh, Father God, thank you, Father God. I love you, Father God. If I, Father God, could, Father God, just, Father God, have, Father God, a pair of shoes, Father God, in your holy name, Father God. And I just thank you, Father God, for the Father God days and Father God nights. And it's like, okay, we get it. Your heart's not there. It's no different than now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to say. I didn't know what that meant as a kid. I just know we were taught it and that was what we were supposed to say. I didn't even know who I was saying it to. I just know I was supposed to say it. Somebody named God. But you got to understand, there was the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. And Santa Claus, well, my mom told us it was no Santa Claus. At least she did give us a level of freedom and levity there. My mom made it very clear it was no Santa Claus. She made it very clear. Ain't no white man coming down the chimney bringing you no gifts. That's what my mom used to say. I'm Santa Claus. My mom would say, I'm Santa Claus. Now, what she did was she created a hostile environment for us when we went into the world because the kids were coming to us and saying, Santa Claus, and say, ain't no Santa Claus. My mom is Santa Claus. Ain't no white. And then the little kids go back home and tell their mama what we said, upset. Then the teacher have to chew us out. Nonetheless, so she created us for confrontation, sis, because immediately I caught heat from so many people when I would immediately as a five-year-old shoot down their Santa Claus with conviction, the way my mom would say it, I'm Santa Claus. So I would say to people, ain't no Santa Claus. My mom is Santa Claus. But I digress. My God. Where was I? I usually don't lose my thoughts, but that I just got the visual of my mom and just all the other stuff went out the window. But I remember what my point was. We create our limits. We pass them on to God. We expect God to then bless us in the confines that have been created by the things or the fables we've been taught. So when I found out that Christ was Savior, I immediately began to create a dialogue for him that made sense to me. Because, you know, God meets you where you are. You know, that's a church saying. I haven't found that scripture, but there's a church saying that went around for a long time. God meets you where you are. He don't give you more than you can carry. You know, sometimes you got to be a little darkness before you can see the light. All of these sayings, that's not scriptural, but they're very powerful in the church because somebody needed to understand. Are you listening? To how to have a communication with God. They needed to understand God on their level. I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We all do that. But at some point, you got to break your level and move into his level. At some point, there needs to be a revelation and a wisdom that comes to you that where Jesus said to Peter, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you. It just came out of his mouth. And Peter probably, after he said it, for you are the Christ, the Son of the... He probably went, huh? I'm going to act like I made that up. But my point is, there is a realm of revelation and truth that goes beyond the relationship that you have developed so far. You with me? There is a level of anointing and truth that goes beyond the relationship that you have developed so far. And I want to read the scripture, but let me put this down because I want to make sure you get this. And I know everybody in this room will say they agree with that statement. But when you look for the next level of truth or revelation, you're still bringing the form of revelation with you. You're just carrying your fences out. You're still trying to get the new level of revelation based on the fence that you've already created. You have not left your pen. So I'm saying that I feel the challenge to understand God beyond any of my fences. And for me, that's scary. That wakes me up at night. That keeps me from sleeping. It makes me analyze every bad dream that I'm having. And why am I having this bad dream? And why am I having this kind of nightmare thing? That's another thing that's been happening. Why am I having these dreams? And it's like, is there a belief in me that lines up with these dreams? So I begin to seek God to heal me. I don't know who this is for, in the realm of my dreams. Because I begin to become concerned that out of the abundance of my heart, my dreams were speaking. So I begin to challenge myself before the Lord. Now, only a few people know about this, but my wife being one, that I've been dealing with these dreams where I can't finish anything. And I've had them for years. There's always this great victory. The prize was right in front of me. Somebody other than me know what I'm talking about? And it looks like just before I'm about to get that thing that I'm setting out for, the dream switches, or the thing changes, or the thing just seems to consistently stay just 1-3 feet away from my grab. Now, I may have had those kind of dreams most of my life, but now they're nightmares. They wake me up. So I'm saying, God, let me not keep trying to turn back over and go back to sleep. I doggone sure don't want no pills and medicine to help me go to sleep. I want to know what's inside of me that's speaking to me, telling me that these are my fences, even in my dreams, and I can't go any further. Who am I talking to today? So I've been asking God to reveal to me what I really believe versus what I decided to believe. What you decided to believe is not bad, but it's limited. So I wasn't planning to share this, but it came out this morning, so I'll share it. So I was sharing with my babies upstairs. We were talking, and I said, people always say, speak the word, confess the word over it. Scripture says it, speak to the mountain, say, be thou removed. And he said, so I said, you speak the word, and that's all there is to it. And I said, that's erroneous. It's not true. It's not even biblically true. They'll say, God spoke, let there be light. And light was. And the earth, let us make man. That's all there was to it. I said, that's erroneous. It's not true. It's not even biblical. It's wrong. Some of you are looking at me like, no, that's what the Bible says. No. There's a big step before that. And the earth was without form and void, and the Holy Spirit brooded over the earth, and then he spoke. There's the presence first, and then the speaking. That's why you speak into things and they're not happening, because you haven't sought his presence. and you haven't prayed about it into his presence, brooded over it before you said, light be. You just thought you had a magic formula because you half read a scripture and you thought that you could just now go speak to anything with no presence, no anointing, no correction in your spirit, no God rebuking you and changing you and getting you and judging you and putting you on the right path, no correction in your performance. You just keep doing the same stupid corny dance and think you're supposed to win, and everybody else is studying and trying to go to the next level, and you keep coming back and confessing and speaking to things, but there's no anointing sitting on it. There's no presence of God laying on it. There's no Holy Spirit brooding over it. That's why I usually, before I pray, I usually stop, and even when you'll come up for prayer, and I stay a while, and I wait for the presence of God, well, before we have the healing lines, and I start laying hands, you'll see me stand there a while, and I'll pray until I feel the presence. Sometimes I'll stand in front of a person, and I'll skip them and come back to them because I don't feel the presence on them before I put my hands on them. It's not just your words. It's his presence. Well, how do you know if his presence is on it if you're not developing your spirit to the place that you know when his presence is there? I have your attention? So, as our mind is being renewed, it's not talking about our brains, our intellects, and our thinking and the way we view things. It refers to it as the mind of Christ. That we are now thinking, if you want to use the word thinking, it's a very loose word. But basically, what we're doing is we're searching our hearts. Are you listening to me? And we're finding out if what's in our heart lines up with what's in the Spirit of God or what God is speaking to our spirit. I feel like I'm having trouble saying this. Like I'm saying it, I know what I'm saying, but I don't think it's getting across the way I need it to get across. Lord, help me. Proverbs 23:7, which we did last week, says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." That's why the dreams bothered me. Because it gave me a sense that something is in my heart that I'm not even taking the time to check, that I'm dismissing it as just a dream. But then I'm looking at my life and I'm seeing areas where I feel that same kind of stuck. So, Lord, help them hear what I'm saying. If my words have to line up with my heart and not with my mind. When he talks about the mind of Christ, I'll conclude he's talking about the heart of God. Would anybody disagree with that? The mind of Christ, he means the heart of God. Not an intellectual mind, but the very heart. When you say something is the heart of something, the core of it, the source of it. When he says the mind of Christ, he's talking about the very source and heart of God. So when he says, let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, and you decide to read 50 scriptures and decide, now you're going to go quote those at people, because that's the mind of Christ because I read it in the Bible. You just bought him and put him inside your fence. And then you try to make everybody else get in your fence with you. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Are you learning something? Let me know when you're there. Verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not physical. The King James says carnal, which means physical. Weapons of flesh and blood. But our weapons are divinely powerful for the destructions of fortresses and walls. We are destroying sophisticated arguments in every exalted and proud thing that seeks to set itself up against the true knowledge of God. We are taking every thought captive and purpose, thought and purpose captive into the obedience of, to the obedience of, what did we learn about when it says Christ? It's talking about, it's talking about the spirit and the position of it, not Jesus, the prophet, the position, the anointing. So he's saying, watch this then. You have weapons. There is a warfare. You have weapons. There is a warfare. Sit up. You have weapons. There's a warfare. I'm going to say it a couple more times. You have weapons. There is a warfare. What is a warfare? She said a fight, a battle is a better word. Go ahead. I'm looking for something else. There's the word. A confrontation. An ongoing confrontation. There's a war. There's a battle. There's a war. There's a battle. Well, you know, we wrestle with the devil. No, 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 no. Very clear. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical. No. Let's try it again. There's a weapon. There's a warfare. And now we know part three is not physical. Well, the devil, I think the devil broke in my car. It's not physical. I think the devil's attacked in my health is not physical. Are you getting this? Yeah. There's a weapon. There's a battle. There's a war. There's a confrontation. It's an ongoing warfare. But it's not physical. No, but I believe in the spirit. The enemy's attacked in my health. It's not physical. Is not weapons of flesh and blood, but our weapons are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. So let me just do this a minute. We have weapons to fight a warfare that's not physical, but divinely powerful. So we understand then that they're spiritual in nature and they're supernaturally powerful. Stay with me. Then if the attack is not physical and the weapons of our warfare are divinely powerful, why are we aiming them at the situations that inconvenience us naturally? You missed that, didn't you? You using it to make your boss be nicer. To make that loan go through. To get that place you want. To get that car at a lower interest rate. He just said the weapons are not for physical battle. I don't know about you, but that's what I've been using them for. Stuff that makes me uncomfortable, or stuff that I want to win in with my new fence. I want to paint this fence. It's ugly now. I want a new fence. Jesus, bless me so I can put flowers and leaves and branches on this fence so it don't look like a fence. It looks like garden. I can live with it a little bit longer. But he just said, you have weapons and there's a warfare. So pay attention to my question, because it's a good question. Pay attention to this question. If I have weapons and there's a warfare and the weapons are not flesh and blood or carnal, then in which realm would these weapons be effective? And they're divinely powerful in that realm. So then if I pray for God to fix a situation, I'm really just sticking a Band-Aid on a leak. Went over your heads? If my situation is the problem that I'm praying about, you'll agree that's what you pray about. But the weapon he gave me is a spiritual weapon, and all I'm doing is approaching the physical problem. Have I done anything to vanquish the enemy with this powerful weapon? So, as I said a little while ago, the enemy creates these realms. He gives you these gates. He knows, yeah, as long as I don't encroach the gate, they won't get too heavy in prayer. Their intercession's going to be weak. Their prayer time is not going to have a lot of power. They're not going to seek to do anything new, great, or different because I didn't encroach on their gate. I just stood over and yelled bad words at them and got them all upset. But I know not to push them back too much because they might fight and realize that I have them in a gate. If I put my leg over it, they may realize, wait a minute, you just stepped over something. I'm walled in. So I'll just stand outside of it and mess with them a little bit, but don't come all the way in because I don't want them to realize that the realm that they need to defeat me in is in the realm of the spirit. I want them to keep coming at me in the natural so that they're always praying for things to be fixed for them in the natural and they never see the full spiritual picture of who they are, what they're supposed to be, where they're supposed to go. So they'll stay in their little comfortable playpen and as long as I don't bother them too much, they'll never grow. They'll never become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. They'll never get better. They'll never get stronger. They'll never get more mighty. They'll just keep being satisfied. I got my 60-inch TV. Hallelujah. And I caught it on a good sale. And when I pulled into place, there was a parking lot right by the door. And I didn't even have to go carry it. The salesman carried it out for me. Woo! Hallelujah. You're not threatened, so you don't feel the need to grow. Here's what I've learned about the pressures that come under the thing about the things of God. I don't believe in my life. There are people who believe the devil just comes to attack you, and their life is full of that. Devil don't, he don't play with me like that. The devil's learned to leave me alone. He's learned to leave us alone. He's learned that. A lot of you are sitting right here, can I get a witness? But you're comfortable, so you're not threatened, so there's no weight, so you're not developing no new muscles. But see, in the kingdom, you got to go to the gym. The gym don't come to you. I'm putting myself in the fight. I'm forcing myself to grow new muscles because I realize I'm getting flabby eating donuts in my fenced-in world of blessings that I've achieved so far. Hallelujah. Sha-la-la-ba-ba-da-da-da-da. I'm good. I'm prosperous. I got more than one house. Hey, Jesus. Really? 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 Jericho had the chance to live up there because we have this place. First person we let live there. Now Esther lives there, and Nellie's there. I said, God, you got me in a house full of women. Help me. Opinionated women. Oh, my God. It's a new strength being birthed in me. I'm learning to flex a little stronger. But here's my point. God said, and you can get real happy about that. But what if I told you I wanted you to have 1,000 places like that, that you could give somebody somewhere to stay on their transition to where they're going? If you're so happy about the one, if you're so glad about your 80 people you feed every week in the food pantry, what if I told you I wanted you to feed 50,000 a week? You can't do it there, but you feel so good. You're so satisfied. Talk about your pantry, put on the website. Everybody you meet, you let them know, I got a pantry and a Bobby feed the peoples. Or 80 of them. Hallelujah. On Thanksgiving, though, we get a lot of people. Though. God said, that's good. Good for you. Good for you, little N-word. Good for you. But I have a bigger picture for you. Move that fence. Knock that fence down. Burn that fence. Unbuild that wall. Am I speaking to you today? Yes. So, let's get back to this. So then the realm of our battle is not the earthly constructs. It's the realm of the spiritual. Oh, I get it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be added. Ah, and it'll come to pass that before you call it, I answer. Oh, so there's a bigger... So I'm trying to rebuke the devil off of my, stealing my mirrors off my car. And there's a realm in the spirit. Somebody don't want to hear what I'm saying. There's a realm of the spirit here that I've been given some real powerful weapons to use. And I'm not even using them. And when I am using them, I'm shooting them in the earthly realm where they have no real effect. Because they're not made for this realm. I'm supposed to be tearing down strongholds and principalities and power and spiritual wickedness in high places, and I'm still trying to make my boss be nice to me. I just want to change position. I just want to promote me and just send me in a new department. Hallelujah. I just want all you to pray for me. Yeah, we know. We know. Now, I'm not mad at you if you're not there yet. But here's the clarion call. Here's the challenge. So, he goes on to explain that the weapons that we carry, our warfare weapon, what we fight with, is not physical. No, I wasn't being physical. I was in the spirit fight. I said, Satan, I rebuke you. Okay, of what? You don't even know what you're rebuking. First of all, do you even know what the attack is about? See, these are questions. And you're expecting me to give you a patent answer. There is none. You have to find out. That's your job when the enemy attacks, for you to say, God, where is he? Where am I? What's his ultimate goal? What's our ultimate goal? Now, I just want this to stop. These leaks in my apartment, I can't take it anymore. Wow. I think sometimes the enemy answers prayer just so that you can stop. Oh, you just want to make the leak stop? I'm going to get you somebody just so you stop praying. That seemed to be the biggest thing on your mind. Somebody to appreciate me. I just feel like nobody appreciates me. Okay, I'll get somebody to send you some compliments. And all of a sudden, here he come, or here she come, complimenting you, saying them things you want to hear. Bam, off come the drawers. And all of a sudden, all this blessing of God done turned to sin. Uh-oh, I can't talk to adults? You know I'm telling the truth. I believe the Lord sent them, really. I believe the Lord gave it to me, really. So basically, God set you up to sin. Okay. I got the first aid kit. They're not physical. They're spiritual and powerful for the destruction of fortresses. Let's talk about fortresses. Are you seeing how your pastor is breaking this thing down? So you have a battle, and you have a weapon, and there's a warfare. Come on now, walk with me. So there's an ongoing, we establish all that, and you have this weapon that's not divine, designed for flesh and blood battles, but for spiritually defined battles, that it's made to destroy fortresses. Somebody say fortresses. Fortresses. Look at somebody and say fortresses. Fortresses. Now, stay with me. Hold on. Wait. Come on, Rhonda. Wait. When the last time you destroyed a fortress? I just pray I get that promotion. There ain't no fortress. So wait a minute. We got these weapons that are designed to destroy Satan's whole stronghold. No, his whole camp. We could come in like Rambo and just blow everybody, all the demons up. But we just want the one that keeps stealing my mirrors. Fortresses. This is where they hide their weapons. They hide their arsenal. They feed their troops. They prepare everybody to get ready to go out and do battle. You got a weapon that destroys that. But you just want to live in a better apartment. Jesus. Hallelujah. Yes, so that's all I want. I could be so happy, so free. Not trying to make fun of us, but this is what we do. This is what sitting before you in the presence of the Lord will get you. It'll make you look at yourself. It's judgment. But he's judging me with critiques so I can better myself and win this doggone contest. God wants us to win. So the judgments are designed that we critique and check ourselves so that we line up. Judge yourself that you be not judged. He said, look, I don't even need to judge you if you just check yourself before you wreck yourself. You understand? As I start to walk through this with you, I want you to see the awesomeness in that one verse. Let's get a few more points in before time runs out. Are you being blessed? Amen. Weapons are our warfare. So it's weapons, the warfare. There's not physical warfare. And our weapons are divinely powerful. That means empowered by God for the destruction of fortresses. Things way bigger than our daily life. We are destroying sophisticated arguments and every exalted and proud thing that sets itself up against the knowledge of the truth of God. Now it gets deeper. He told you what the weapons were. He told you what the battle was, not in the realm of the physical. He told you your weapon was divinely purposed and powerful for destroying fortresses. And then it says, and once you blow up that fortress, you get inside of it, and what do you find? You find thoughts and reasoning and thinking that goes against the truth of the knowledge of God. Somebody need to say amen, hallelujah, because check this out. All of our bondage is the lies that we've been told. All of our confusion is the deceptions and stuff. So he said he's got that stuff locked up in a fortress. It's locked up in a fortress. The devil got a whole supply of stuff Not just against you, but the whole world. That thing with your mirror being stolen, that's the distraction to keep you from seeing that fortress. There's a fortress there. And you got weapons, and you're not even getting those weapons to go destroy that whole fortress. Where not only do you shut him down against you, but against a region. One will put 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. By my math, four will put 1,000,000 to flight. One plus one equals 10,000. If you keep multiplying that exponentially by that number, four gets you to 1,000,000 demons. I did the math. Just four people getting together. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. On one accord. It's a simple solution to a complicated problem. Because I've been around intercessors. And let me tell you something. Getting four people in the room in agreement on the same thing, it's not easy. You ever been in a prayer circle? You notice how fast they get off the subject? We get together, we all going to get here, and we're going to pray for the peace of the city and this thing to change. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you know it, somebody's talking about their grandchildren. It done switched. The conversation went all kinds of different ways. Each person is trying to outpray the other one to see if they can throw five more Jesuses in than you did. Like they racking up scores on a video game. I've been in prayer circles where I just literally just say, you go ahead and continue. This has just become a competition. They think they're doing a sing-off. And somebody literally would get in and start saying, oh, Lord Jesus, I seek you. I'm out. I'm tapping out. You win. Your prayer was better. I'm out. Nobody's in agreement. Nobody's standing for the same thing. Nobody's coming in with the same anointed purpose, and the enemy knows it. And if you get close, I'll just step over your gate a little bit and rustle a couple of leaves. And then your focus will go back off of your eternal plan and eternal focus of what I called you to, and you get back to praying about your paycheck. And you got quiet. But am I painting a good visual for you? So I'm seeing things as I'm praying in this season that's making me see stuff like this. Wow. You really thought you said something deep and big when you said that. But I realized when God showed me the vision about my fences, I said, okay. Father, I believe, help my unbelief. I know what you're saying is true. We're not done. We're going to pick this up. You got some good foundation here. Here's what I want you to do this week for homework. I want you to go in these verses, break down the weapons again, exactly the way you heard me explain them, and whatever revelations you get on it, make notes. Now you can't front because you're going to have to show me what you did. But it's for your own good. And if you don't do it, I ain't going to harass you. But when you call me about praying for your parking ticket again, I'm just going to laugh in your face. You understand what I'm saying? I'm showing you the realm. I've been in church most of my life. I didn't get the realms. I heard there were realms, but nobody broke it down. So I was forced to have to go get before daddy and figure it out. You getting something? Break down what we got so far. The weapon. What the weapons are, you can even paint and elaborate on your own pictures if you want. Allow God to walk you through these few verses right here and begin to give you a battle plan for your own life and your own situations. Who you are, why are you here? I started this message by saying you're much bigger than you think you are. Look at me. The enemy doesn't want you to know that. He wants you to keep fighting over little stupid stuff. and the person I don't get along with, and the sister I don't speak to, and the cousin that I don't like. But ultimately, there's a fortress that you're supposed to take down, or fortresses. And the enemy is cleverly, through denominations and erroneous teaching, made the church totally ineffective. We want to go to court and pray and fight abortion and all this kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that that's bad, that they want to pray. But it's not praying. They get out there fighting and marching around and getting into fights with the police and the pro-choice versus the pro-life. And now you're screaming and cussing at each other. And you're going to hell! And I'm like, really? That's how you... That's not spiritual forces. That's not a good representation. We're a joke. Some of the best jokes I've heard were jokes about Christians. Some comedians are real good at tearing apart the church. And what's sad about it is you can get mad if you want. I like them. I watch them. I like them. Because they're spot on. We're giving them the material. It's right there. It's right there. The guy who did the one, the white guy said he went to the black church. Like, oh, you got a step team? This is a talent show. It's like 7 o'clock. Can I go? No, it's real stuff. We can start to change that. We're bigger than this realm. Amen? Amen.